me try that one more time. Good afternoon, PCC. We still got about 20 more minutes left, right? You want to knock somebody off their heels, just walk up in the middle of the night and say, good morning. I guarantee you that 95% of the time, someone would answer back and say, good morning. Well, good afternoon again. Good morning, rather. It's such a privilege to be here, and I'm thankful every opportunity that I get to come and speak like this. I've always said that PCC is my home away from home, and I'm really grateful. My family and I would like to thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak to you today. And as we embarked upon this new series this week, we just pray that God will continue to bless us and give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that we need in order to serve him. Amen? Amen. With that being said, let me just get started. All right. This morning, we will be beginning a new sermon series, and the new series is called Real, R-E-A-L. And this Real is a study through the book of James. The idea behind this topic is to provide practical tools to make our faith real and genuine and to make it authentic. We will be spending some considerable time in the book of James. And I will begin the series today. I will speak on the subject of real trials. And Pastor Gary is going to continue next week. And he will be speaking on the topic of real action. Some of the other topics are going to be real love and also real faith. Now, it is Pastor Gary's hope that at the end of this series, you will have the tools you need to make following Jesus become real in the way that we live our daily lives. Amen? Amen. And I am also looking forward because one of the series is going to be a message presented by someone that I had the privilege of being his counselor at camp, believe it or not, and that's Brother Cameron. That just shows you that this just happened about 2 years ago. So I'm not that old, so he's grown up quick. We're really thankful for that. So later on, throughout the series, you're going to hear from our brother Cameron. It's a very great series. If you have your Bibles, could you please turn with me to the book of James? To the book of James. When you find it, you can say amen. If some of you are watching on the overhead prompter, you can see it as we get going. Before we get started, as I like to do, can we just bow our heads in a word of prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you, glorifying you, giving you the praises, because you deserve it. Father God, it is because of you why we are here today in your presence. Your word also declares that wherever two or three of us are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. We welcome your presence this morning. We acknowledge your presence, Lord God. And as we begin to open up your word, we're asking that you will just speak to our hearts. Let us hear your word and respond in a positive way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So James chapter 1 begins, and I'll read through and then you'll follow. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But let patience, go on to verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church says, amen. This week I was reading a very interesting article And it was an article about a football player that most of us are familiar with. His name is Tim Tebow. I don't know if any of you guys have gotten to see the article or heard it on the news. Tim Tebow was flying on an airplane this week with some of his family and some friends. And as he was flying, there was a gentleman on the plane that began to have a heart attack. As the gentleman was having a heart attack, Tim Tebow just reacted and he grabbed the gentleman's wife and he began to pray with her that the gentleman would be okay and that she would actually deal with it in a more positive manner. There were doctors and so on the plane that actually rushed to the gentleman's help. So while the gentleman was being helped by these physicians, Tim Tebow was praying for the wife and the family. Why did I brought that story up? Well, social media got a hold of the story. And you should have heard the criticism that Tim Tebow got just because he held the man's wife and prayed with her. Not only did he pray with her, but after the plane landed, he offered his cab for the lady and followed her to the hospital with her husband, to be with her husband, who later on the lady found out that the husband died. Tim Tebow was doing the right thing, but at that time he was being persecuted for displaying his faith. If you have followed Tim Tebow at any time, you have known that throughout his career, this is nothing new to Tim Tebow. He has been persecuted all throughout his career because he was one that stood firmly on what he believed. And because the media and the world doesn't really appreciate it, nor do they look forward to it, they criticize. And he was persecuted for his faith. Today, our subject, our topic that we're going to speak about is real trials. Listen to this. Chappie the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in the cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem began when Chappie's owner decided to clean Chappie's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang and she turned to pick it up. She barely said hello when Chappie got sucked in. The bird owners gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chappie, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chappie under the running water. Then realizing that Chappie was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for her hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chappie. He never saw what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter, who had initially written about the event, contacted Chappie's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, Chappie doesn't sing any much more. He just sits and stares. It's hard not to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from the stoutest of hearts. It's a very interesting story, but there are some of us that may have felt like that throughout life. We have gone through life and we feel like we have been sucked in, washed up, and blown over. See, the book of James was considered one of the first books that was ever written in the New Testament. The book of James was written about AD 49, and James specifically wrote this book to Jewish believers. So he was really speaking about Jewish believers. Now, James, he is the brother of Jesus. Even though he didn't really start off his chapter by announcing that. But here's the interesting thing about James. James was never a believer in the beginning. There are instances in scripture where he talked about the family of Jesus while Jesus was preaching and teaching and was doing all these things that the family thought Jesus was nuts. And if there's anyone that actually know you, it has to be someone from your family. Isn't that true? And here was James. He didn't believe in Jesus. His family didn't believe in Jesus. He thought that Jesus was a nut. But something miraculous happened to James after the resurrection of Christ. The Bible says that James was one of the believers that Jesus met, that he went to, that he had a conversation with. And scholars have believed that it's after that time that James was convinced that Jesus was truly the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, the book of James, it's much like the book of Proverbs. And James is what Proverbs is to the Old Testament in the New Testament. Proverbs is a book of practicality. It talks about how you can live life practicality. How you can live life real. In today's generation, we would say how to live life 100. Amen? It's how to live life 100. And that's what James was pretty much talking about. James makes, he says that, listen, it's based on the fact that if you are God's people, then we ought to act like God's people. If we really say that we believe in Jesus Christ, and if we really say that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of our lives, James is saying that this must be evident in your life. It must become practical. It must become real. You see, the problem with most of us in churches today is we get a lot of information, but we don't have a lot of application. We get the information, but we don't realize how do we apply this information that we have learned. James makes no excuses for the person who lives separate from what he believes. In fact, he believes that faith that does not produce real changes in an individual is not faith at all. In the book of James, you will find practical example of how to behave during trials. How to treat those that are less fortunate than you. How to speak and relate to others. And how you can manage God's money in your life. These are just some of the things that James speaks about. And so now we go into verse number 1. If you can turn with me to verse number 1. And you will see how James actually began his sermon. In James chapter 1, here's what he says. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings, trials, in trials and temptation. So look at how James considered himself. He did not say to them, listen, this is James, I'm the brother of Jesus. James wasn't looking to enlarge himself or to make himself look big. James simply came out and says, listen, I know some of you guys might know me. I know that I grew up with Jesus, and I know that I am his half-brother, but I want you to understand something. I see Jesus totally different than the way I grew up and seeing him. James says, I am a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he didn't make much mention that Jesus was his brother. And the reason why, because his spiritual relationship with Jesus was much more important than his physical relationship with Jesus. James also became one of the leaders in the Jerusalem church. As a matter of fact, whenever Paul was going on his missionary journeys, Paul would even come over and they would consult with James. Peter also consulted with James. So James at that time became one of the leaders in the Jerusalem church, and his main emphasis was on bringing the lost tribes of Israel back to Christ. His focus, his ministry was to the Jewish nation. Now, during the time when James wrote the book, and as I said earlier, it's one of the earliest books that was written in the New Testament. During the times that James wrote this book, one of the things that was happening was that the church at that time were under heavy persecution. Such persecution that the Jews were scattered all over, and they were living in Gentile communities throughout the Mediterranean. Now, James' job or James' response in writing this passage, it was to encourage the believers as to how to handle real trials, even though they were being persecuted. So this morning, my purpose is to help us as believers to understand how do we respond when we're living with real trials, when we're experiencing real trials. And you will find that throughout the scripture, James gives 3 practical examples as to how we can successfully navigate throughout trials. And the three examples are, he says, when you're dealing with trials, when you're dealing with real trials, the first thing you need to understand is, number one, you must be joyful. Number two, you must know and understand that every trial have a purpose. The third thing that James wants us to understand is that whenever you don't successfully understand trial and whenever you're going through trials, he says, in order to successfully navigate it, you need to ask God for wisdom in order to help you to endure trials. So this morning, we encourage you who have been persecuted and afflicted because of your faith to apply these three principles to your lives that will help you to successfully navigate trial. So now we go on to verse number 2. So in the first verse, you see James there introducing himself. He's telling you that he's a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And now he's talking about the fact that, listen, I'm writing to all of these 12 tribes that have been scattered all over. I'm trying to explain to you that, yes, you're going through trials. Yes, you're going through difficulties. But these are the practical examples that you need to understand in order to successfully navigate to them. And what are those trials? In verse number 2, look what he says. The first thing he says is, count it all joy. James, count it all joy in the midst of trials. Now the word count right there, you will see it in some translation, it says count. In some translation, it says consider. Now the real word means to consider. It means to think about it, to think joyfully in the midst of trial. So then what is a trial? What is a trial? The trial that James here is speaking about, he's not talking about an allurement to sin. He's not talking about putting cheesecake right there and telling you not to eat it and just to see if you would be tempted to eat it. That's not what James was talking about. When James was talking about trials, he's speaking about people who were going through illnesses, sicknesses, persecution as a result of their faith. It is almost the same thing what Tim Tebow was going through. Here he is, serving God, honoring God, doing what God called him to do, but the world just says, you're a fool. And so he was suffering heavy persecution. And that's exactly what James here was speaking about. So James was saying that, listen, count it all joy. Now, one of the things that happens when we go through trials and when we go through persecution, some of us get discouraged. And we lose hope and we lose faith. As a matter of fact, whenever we're going through trials, one of the number one question that we ask is, why me? Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to be the one to experience this? Why me? He says, count it all joy. I remember when I was working in the hospital, in Kindred Hospital in Fort Lauderdale, there was a young woman. She was 29 years old. She came in the hospital because she had sickle cell disease. The reason why this resonated with me was because I have the sickle cell trait. Now, you would know that most African, sickle cell disease is a disease that is predominantly among African Americans. And some people have the full-blown disease, and some people get the trait. Now, if two people who have the trait come together and they have a child, what happens is the child can be born with full-blown sickle cell. Now, there is a short lifespan on people who suffer from sickle cell disease. Some people may last a little bit over 30. Some of them go a little bit longer. But the lifespan is very short. And I saw this young lady. She was 29 years old. And what happened with sickle cell disease is every now and then they go through a thing called crisis, which is where they just start crashing and they go through heavy pains in their stomach and so on. And I remember seeing this young lady in the hospital bed. And I was having a conversation with her, and the number one question she kept asking me was, why did I have to be born with this? Why did I have to have this disease? And that is one of the things that happens when most of us go through trials. We ask these questions, why me, Lord? Why do I have this? Why must I? James says, listen, I understand you're going through difficulties. I understand you're going through trials. But instead of asking, why me, James says, count it all joy. Think of the joy. But look at what James says. He doesn't just stop there. He says, count it all joy when you go through trials. When you go through trials. In other words, What James is saying is that trials are imminent. Trials are imminent. As sure as death and taxes, you're going to have trials. It is often said that you're either just entering into a trial, or you are in a trial, or you are just coming out of a trial. And the interesting thing is, Jesus warns his disciples over and over again. And Jesus tells his disciples, listen, those who live godly will suffer persecution. Everyone that lives their lives in honor of Christ, at some point, you will suffer some form of persecution. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, blessed are those when men revile and come against you and persecute you falsely and say all manner of evil against you because of me. He said, great is going to be your reward. So trials is imminent, and all of us is going to go through some form of trials of some point. Now James says, listen, it's not a matter of if the trial is going to come. It's more a matter of when the trial is going to come. And then James didn't stop there. So he says that this trial, in verse number one, let me make sure I want to cover it accurately. In verse number two, he said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. See that? Not only is James saying that trial is imminent, James is also saying that trial comes in series. You remember when Gregory was speaking a couple of weeks ago on the subject of temptation, and he talks about as Jesus went through the trials through the 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, the ending of that trial ended like this. The Bible says that then the devil left him for a time or a season, which means that he's not done. He's not through. He's going to come back again. And you see, the misconception with some of us is that just because we have gone through something and just because we've experienced some difficulties in our life, it's over. But here James is saying, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Why is James saying to count it all joy? James is saying to count it all joy because the trials that you are going through is producing something. The trials that you are going through is producing something. Look at verse number three. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Wait a second. Let's stop right there. So what James is saying is that trials is not so that God can inflict pain on you. It's not so that God can put you through difficulties just for his purpose, just so he can enjoy it. No. Look what James says. When trials comes, the trials is a testing of your faith. It's a testing of your faith. Now, why is our faith being tested? Our faith is being tested for its genuineness or its authenticity. In other words, God wants to make you understand whether or not your faith is real. Don't misunderstand. Don't think that God is trying to find out anything, because God knows all things. He knows what you were going through before you even went through it. The thing is, God allows you to go through it so that you can see whether or not what you're going through is real, whether or not you are real in your faith. And that is why we have coined this topic today, real trials. And how do you behave when you're going through real trials? It demonstrates whether or not you have real faith. And that's exactly what was going on here. And I'll tell you this, that there is never a time in our walk with Christ when our faith becomes real until under trial. There is never a time in our Christian walk or when we're following Jesus that our faith become real until it is tested. You see, a sculptor takes the marble and he chips away in order to bring out that piece of slab into an image. You see, God chips away at the things that are not like Christ through the act of trouble. He chisels away everything. And James called this the testing of faith. It is a testing of faith. So James is saying, look, knowing that the testing of your faith produces something. So there's a purpose behind the trial that you're going through. There is a purpose behind the struggle. There is a purpose behind the pain. There is a purpose behind the difficulties, the sickness, the illness, the persecution. There is a purpose. What is the purpose? James says two things. Number one, James says the reason why you are going through trials is because God is beginning to produce something in you. You see, most of us think that when we go through trial, it's to destroy us. You know, the devil is just trying to kill me, or the devil, and that's probably true. But the reason why God is allowing you to go through that is because God is beginning to produce something in you. What is God producing? He's producing patience. Now, the word for patience right there is the word endurance. It's for you to be able to endure. You see, there's a difference between being patient and tolerant. Because you can be tolerant for a time, but patience and endurance is about sticking it out, not giving in or giving up. I like to run every now and then. When my son plays football, I like to go over to the field and I like to jog. Now, I started out maybe about a year or two ago trying to jog 3 miles. And I got all ready, got my shorts, my sneaker on, and my top, and I'm out there jogging. And I'm ready for this because I wanted to trim down a little bit and lose a little bit of weight. So here I am out there and I'm running. And all of a sudden, maybe about a quarter of a mile, I started feeling this ache in my calves. And then I'm running a little bit more, and then I started becoming short of breath. I started realizing, wait a second, this is a little bit difficult. And I'm running, and then all of a sudden my chest start tightening up. And I'm like, okay, I got to make this mile, and then I just quit. Why? Because it got so difficult, and I didn't get used to it. And the reason being is because I did not develop the endurance to be able to continue. And James is saying here that, listen, when you go through trials, God is beginning to develop in you the endurance for you to never give up. The endurance for you to stick with it. You see, the reason why most people quit right away is because their faith may have not been real. And when the difficult time comes, guess what? We crack under pressure. We give up. We give in. I might as well throw in the towel. This thing ain't working. I've seen it so many times with new believers. All of a sudden, they're so happy and excited, and they're going on good, and God is blessing them, and they're walking in the church every Sunday, and they're praying, and they're singing. And as soon as something difficult happens in their life, all of a sudden, you don't see them at church anymore. All of a sudden, they're not reading the word anymore. All of a sudden, they don't even want to talk to you anymore. Why? Because they crack under pressure. Because the pressure is revealing that what was there wasn't real. And James is saying, listen, when you go through trials, when you go through difficult time, it is because God is producing something in you. And God wants you to develop the endurance so that you can be the person that he calls you to be, so that you can stick with it, so that you will never be able to give up. So the first thing James says is, the testing of your faith worketh patience. Number two, verse number four, James says, and patience will have its perfect work and produces maturity. Patience leads to maturity. As a matter of fact, look what he says in verse 4. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So you see what he's saying here is that God is allowing you to go through the trials and the tribulation that you're going through because he, number one, wants you to develop that patience, that ability to be able to stick with it, that ability to not be able to give up. But then he says, so that you may be mature. Isn't it interesting that the reason why you see some of us live the way that we live is because we're not really mature. And the reason why we're not mature is because we haven't developed the patience to be able to stick with it. And James is saying, I want you to understand that God is building you up into maturity. And what is maturity? Maturity is character. It is character. And character is the general makeup of someone's personality. So what James is saying here is, God wants you to have the personality of not giving up. You ever meet some people that you just know that they're going to quit based on their personality? You just know that the minute they start something, they're not going to continue it. They just have that quitting mentality. You know, they always say that winners never quit and quitters never win. It's pretty much true. And James here is saying, hey, listen, when you go through trials, when you go through difficulty, when you go through persecution, God is developing that patience in you, that endurance in you, so you can stick with it, so that you can have this character of being this type of person who now have the personality of never giving up. So that's why James says, hey, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you go through trials, when you go through difficulties, when you go through all of these things. I want you to count it all joy, because I don't want you to learn how to quit. Oysters suffer afflictions when they get a grain of sand lodged in their shell. How many of you guys ever had oysters before? If you've ever been to New Orleans and you've had some oysters, boy, I'm telling you, you will be hooked. Anyway, so oysters, they suffer affliction when they get a grain of sand lodged in their shells. No matter what they do, they can't get rid of it. The sand gets lodged in there and it begins to irritate the oyster. It begins to become a thorn in the oyster. It drives them crazy. Now, to begin to comfort their anguish, they begin to coat the grain of sand over and over again. Coating the sand doesn't get rid of it. It just comforts them. You see, over time, the coating of the grain of sand over and over again produces something that costs a bunch of money. It is called a pearl. You know what a pearl is? A pearl is the result of an irritated oyster. Out of that came something women place a great high value on. You see, the pain result in the beauty. Their pain resulted in elegance. Their pain resulted in something of high value. You see, when God allows us to suffer, the reason why he allows us to suffer is because he is producing something so precious in us, so valuable in us. And that's why James is saying, listen, count it all joy when you go through these trials. Count it all joy when you go through these difficulties. He says we need to consider it joyful. See, joy is very important. And the reason being is because joy is not the same thing as happiness. See, happiness is temporary, but joy is permanent. You see, there are people who get happy for a moment, but when you have joy, it is something that is everlasting. Because joy is something that is produced through the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, that is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God gives you this joy that gives you the ability to stick to it, to stick with it, to endure, so that you will have that characteristic of not giving up. So James now says, okay, yes, there is trials. I want you to count it joy when you go through trials. The trials that you're going through is producing something. But then James says, listen, just in case you do not get through being able to manage yourself during trials, he says, I want you to do something. If you don't get the opportunity to handle yourself properly when you're going through trials, James says, I got a solution for that. And the solution that I have for that is, James says, listen, I want you to understand this, that if any one of you lacks wisdom, you should seek God's help. You should look towards God to give you the wisdom that you need in order to be successful through trials. So what James is saying here is, listen, you can have success in the midst of trials. But in order for you to have success in the midst of trials, it's important that you seek God. And James says, if you're seeking God, what you're seeking is God's wisdom. But not only is he saying that you need to seek God's wisdom, but James is saying that if you seek God's wisdom, guess what? He will give it to you, and he will give it to you freely. Freely. That's how God is going to give it to you. Now, oftentimes during trials, we blow it. A lot of us complain. A lot of us give up. A lot of us bicker. And we find every reason why it's all about us, why we're going through this. Why me? Why me? Why not? James says, instead of asking that question, James says, I want you to ask God for wisdom. In other words, we must pray for wisdom from God in order to overcome trials. You see, you won't find the answer in the newspaper. You won't find the answers on the internet. You won't find the answers amongst your friends. James says, if you want the answers that you need to be able to be successful in trials, you need to ask God. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? Wisdom is the quality of having experience and good judgment. And the text says, the only place to find good judgment is in God. It's in God. Here's the thing. When you're experiencing real trials, what you need is real solution. And when you need that real solution, what we need to do is go to God. God will answer your prayers in the time of trials. But here's the thing. In order for your prayers to be answered, it comes with a condition. It comes with a condition. And here is the condition that it says. It says that you must ask believing. You must ask believing. Now look what it says in verse number 5. If you lack wisdom, you should ask of God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given unto you. Verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe, and what? And don't doubt. He says, when you ask, you must believe and you must not doubt. In other words, ask believing. To believe in is to ask with confidence. When you ask with confidence, you already know that the minute I open my mouth and I ask God, guess what? He's going to grant it to me. Isn't that what Jesus says in the Gospels? Jesus says you need to do three things. You need to ask, you need to seek, and you need to knock. See that? You need to ask, for everyone that asks does what? Receive. You need to seek, everyone that seeks does what? Find. You need to knock, everyone that knocks does what? The door will be open. So here James is saying, when you ask God for wisdom, when you ask God for understanding during your trials, guess what? God is going to grant it to you because you are asking, believing, having the confidence that God is going to give you exactly what you ask for. Ask, seek, and knock. A-S-K. It's asking you to ask. The reason why most of us have not is because we ask not. And if you don't ask, what do you think you're going to have? Here's the thing. Here's a stat. If you ask for nothing, you get nothing. And that's exactly what James is saying here. If you're asking, not believing, then you get nothing. So he moves on. And then he says, ask, but do not doubt. Why does he say you should not doubt? Because you see, when you doubt, James is saying, what happens to you when a person doubts? The person becomes unstable, number one. double-minded is the way that James put it. They become double-minded. And look what he says. For he that wavereth, that's what it means when he says, ask, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven back and forth with the wind and tossed back and forth. So James is saying, listen, when you're in your trials, when you're experiencing real trials, and if you want to be able to successfully overcome real trials, what you need to do is ask God, but you need to make sure that you're believing when you ask God. Because if you don't believe, then James says you are unstable. And he says when you're unstable, guess what? You get nothing from God. You get nothing from God. You know why? The reason being is because you have two will. You want to follow God's will, but you also want to follow your own will. That's pretty much what James is talking about. It's the people who says, God, help me through two trials, but I'm not going to listen to the word that you tell me to do to overcome the trial. I'm going to do it my own way. And that's what James is saying. Whenever you go through that kind of trial right there, and whenever that is your attitude through our trials, then you will not be successful. You will not receive anything from God because you're double-minded. Here's what it says. Here, listen to this. They say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. And I'm not a big apple fan. My son loves apple. The one I hate is the green apples because they taste so sour and bitter. I don't really like those kind of apples. The only type of apple that I will eat is the one that they, you know, you go to the fair. And when you go to the fair, they have the apples that you dip in the sugar. And they call it candy apple. Have you ever had candy apple? It makes apple taste a lot better, doesn't it? Now here's the thing. Apples are very nutritious, right? And as I said, the only time I like them is when I go to the fair and we get the candy apple. So what they will do is they will take the apple and they will dip it in liquid sugar. Then me and apples can be all right. We can be on the same page. Because you know what? It makes the flavor better. Here's the problem, though. The problem is that the way the apples have been prepared, the nutritional value has been destroyed. By mixing the apples with the sugar, it kind of messes things up. Now, the apples will hurt me now, not help me. When you mix human wisdom with divine wisdom, guess what you do? You cancel divine wisdom. Let me repeat that again. When you mix human wisdom with divine wisdom, when you say to God, I need your help, but I'm going to follow my own way, then what you're actually doing is you are canceling God's help. No wonder why some of us are still struggling in the decisions that we're making. No wonder why some of us are still struggling with our faith. No wonder why some of us are still having these issues with our faith being practical, with our faith being real, because we are double-minded. And that's exactly what James is saying. You cannot be secular and sacred at the same time. You cannot be a sinner and holy at the same time. James is saying, if you are going to follow God, then you need to accept his plan when he gives the wisdom that you ask for. But if you are going to seek your own way while you're asking God for help, then James says, God won't help you. God won't help you. So James says, I want you to consider it pure joy when you go through these trials. And the reason why I want you to consider it pure joy is because the trials that you're going through, the difficulties that you're going through, it's producing something in you. It's producing endurance. It's producing maturity. It's helping you to become better. You see, when you get grapes and you crush the grapes, the grapes form a thing called wine. And when you age the wine, it says it's aged to what? Perfection. That's pretty much what James was talking about. James is saying, in order for you to come to maturity, God got to crush you a little bit. God got to crush you a little bit. You see, our faith is tested, not so that it can destroy you, but so that God can produce that wine out of you. And that's exactly what James is saying. And James says, hey, just in case you didn't do it right the first time, just in case you messed up, he says, listen, when you're going through the trials, seek God. Seek God. And he says that when you seek him, guess what's going to happen? You're going to find him. If you seek him, believe him, he will grant you what you're looking for. Let me just close off by saying, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ endured one of the worst things that could ever happen to a human being. The Bible declares that he endured the cross for your sins and mine, despising the shame. They whipped him. They scorned him. They persecuted him. They laughed at him. They spat on him. But Jesus stuck through it. And he never gave up. Why? Because he had you in his mind. And that's why the song says, while he was on the cross, guess what? I was on his mind. Jesus stuck through it just for you and I. And that's why, if you're here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to tell you that he would like to meet you today. Because he suffered and he bled and he endured all that hardship and that difficulty so that you can be here this morning. Guess what? He wants to have an appointment with you. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today, I'm just going to ask you to do something bold, to do something courageous, to respond. Because that's the main reason why he did it. He wants you to respond. So you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm just going to ask you to simply just raise your hand. If that is you this morning, if you have never trusted him, if you have never came to him, if you have never known him, Jesus wants to meet you today. The most difficult thing that a person can do is whenever you have come in contact with someone like Jesus is to walk away and not responding to him. So one last time, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm just going to ask you to just simply raise your hand up. Now for those of us that are here that have trusted Jesus, and we have been going through some difficult times in our lives. As a matter of fact, right now there is some difficulty that I'm going through. I'm having some difficulties in my personal life, my marriage. I'm having some difficulty in my personal life, my finances. I'm having some difficulty on the job. I'm having some difficulty with my children. If that's you and you would like for us to pray for you, would you just simply raise your hand? If you're here and you know that there are some things in your life that is not where it needs to be, and I haven't been enduring trials the best way that I possibly can, but I really want that. And I really want that wisdom that God gives. Would you just simply raise your hand? And with that being said, we're going to go to prayer. And we're going to ask God to provide a special blessing on your behalf and to help you through this difficult time that you may be going through. May we bow our heads. For those of you that actually did raise your hand, could you please stand? I don't want to put you out there like that. It's not that. I just want you to stand so that we all can just reach out our hand and pray for you. Would you mind doing that? For those of you who raised your hand and said that you would like God to pray for you. Amen. Amen. Congregation, I'm going to ask you, please stretch your hands out to these people. And let us just bow our heads in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you because we know that you are the great God. We know that you are the great Redeemer. We also know, Lord God, that you allow us to go through difficulties in our lives because you are producing something wonderful in us, oh God. At this time, oh God, your people have stood up because they have been going through some difficult times, Lord. And the enemy may seem like he's winning, but Father God, we already know that you have already defeated him. And so, Father, as your people are standing in your presence this morning, may they feel the comfort that only comes from you, O God. May they feel your presence in their situation, in their lives, so that they can be able to count it all joy. so that they can be able to say hallelujah anyhow. No matter how difficult the situation gets, Lord, we're asking you to meet their needs at this time. We're asking you to bless them, enlarge in their territory. May your hand be upon them. May you keep them from evil, that they may not cause pain. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.